Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
20 years ago, the Soviet Union withdrew from Afghanistan. Anybody? Anybody? Remember that? It was a terrible quagmire for the Soviet government, and it really contributed to the downfall of the entire Soviet system. The question is, in Afghanistan today, NATO forces are fighting a battle with an insurgency and also instability throughout the country. The question for the United States is, are some of the history and themes of the Soviet experience in Afghanistan being repeated now? Joining us are three people to possibly pose this question to. Sergei Khrushchev is the son of the former Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev and is currently a senior fellow at the Watson Institute for International Studies at Brown University in Rhode Island. Sergei Khrushchev, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Also joining us are James Joyner of the Atlantic Council from Washington, D.C., who's an expert on this subject. James Joyner, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And from London, our partners at the BBC, Alexei Solohubenko is the BBC Europe editor. Alexei, thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Sergei, I begin with you. The son of Nikita Khrushchev, you observed firsthand the situation of the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. Is history repeating itself today?
Yes, I think that history is repeating itself, not starting from the Soviet involvement in the fighting in Afghanistan, but we go deep in the history when Russian Empire and British Empire decided it was too dangerous to fight there, because it is very different culture, it is very different people, they are not organized. And when we are fighting there, what we are fighting for, what is our goal, what does it mean, the victory? Because they want to live under their rules, and they don't want to live under our rules. And we have this illusion that we can win. I know it is still a Russian general saying, if you have another year and another 10 or 20,000 people, we would win. I think now it's a little bit different, because at Soviet time, behind Taliban, it was unlimited American resources. Now they're limited. It is possible to crush them. But what will be after that?
Well, is it in the interest of the world community, before we let you go, Sergei, that Afghanistan is stable under any regime?
I think it's in the interest of the world community. It was what my father told at that time when he tried to make a best relations with the Afghan king. And we had very good relations. Afghan monarchy was the good friend of the communist Soviet Union.
And in fact, most of the infrastructure that even exists today in Afghanistan is Soviet-built to this day. Sergei Khrushchev, thanks so much for being with us.
Because my father told that better to have this stable country on our borders than fortify your own borders.
All right. Well, thank you, Sergei Khrushchev, a senior fellow at the Watson Institute for International Studies at Brown. The question is how to get to that stable government, that good relationship that Nikita Khrushchev had with the king of Afghanistan. James Joyner and Alexei Solohubenko, what are the common themes of the U.S. and NATO and Soviet experience in Afghanistan, and what are the different themes? James, we'll begin with you.
Well, I think that Mr. Khrushchev is right that the main commonality is the lack of a very clear exit strategy in terms of what is the overall goal. The other similarity that many have pointed to is the problems caused by the use of air power, using bombing to attack the militants, invariably kills a large number of innocents and makes the so-called winning hearts and minds business very, very difficult.
Well, in fact, that theme was actually explicitly addressed by Zamir Kabulov, who is the Russian ambassador to Afghanistan, a year ago. Listen to this.
There is no mistake left that had been made by Soviet Union that was not repeated by international community here in Afghanistan. Underestimation of Afghan nation, belief that we have superiority over Afghans, and that they're inferior and they cannot be trusted to run affairs.
Oleksiy Soloubenko in London, is NATO underestimating Afghan, either culturally or militarily or politically?
I think it has certainly heightened the expectations of what is achievable, because I think this is a common thread that runs through the Soviet approach to engagement in Afghanistan. The whole idea of intervention resulting in some kind of different outcome, that the country will be different, the governance will be different, the system of tribal relations will be changed, was really not read through either by the Soviets, in my view, or by some of the NATO strategies. But also there's a perceived threat. In the case of NATO, there's a threat of terrorism and the threat of drugs, you know, spilling out of Afghanistan. In the case of the Soviet Union 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, rather, it was the perceived threat of Muslim influences in Central Asia and destabilization of the whole area that was such a soft underbelly of the Soviet Union and was and is still quite dangerous and volatile.
James Joyner, it seems to me that while the argument often is that the scale of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan is huge compared to the scale of the NATO and troops on the ground in Afghanistan, that still doesn't prevent it from being just as much of a quagmire. Do you agree with that?
Oh, indeed. I mean, in fact, I would say the opposite is almost true. I mean, part of the reason, you know, given what seems to be a very ambitious goal, or at least an early ambitious goal of democratizing and you know, westernizing Afghanistan, having fewer troops makes that much more difficult. It's easier in terms of you have fewer targets and you have less of a footprint. But, you know, Afghanistan's a very big place, and it's very difficult to operate a counterinsurgency mission or even a stability operation with, you know, a relatively small force that we've got.
And we're going to have 60,000 troops, or NATO will have 60,000 troops in the country by the fall. That's up from 38,000 now. Last word from Oleksiy Soloubenko in London.
Well, I thought, you know, those troops, what are they for? Are they for constructive engagement or are they for a robust containment of what is Afghanistan? I think before this question is answered, it's very, very difficult to see how the mistakes that were made by the Soviet Union 20 years ago would not be repeated again.
Well, history repeating itself, it's certainly an issue for the Obama administration as we think about the security situation in Afghanistan. James Joyner of the Atlantic Council, thanks for beginning that discussion. He joined us from Washington, D.C., and Oleksiy Soloubenko from our partners, the BBC. He's the Europe editor of the BBC. He joined us from London. Thanks to both of you.